consistently. You're most of my feed. every time there's a notification, it's like, oh, Weeb Crew's up. Oh, Weeb.
This really has nothing to do with our topic today, which I guess we probably should just get into, given that we've been talking about nothing for the last 30 minutes, which is politics in anime.
Politics? That, ooh, this is getting a little too political for me. I'm out.
Getting a little too political. Everyone just, as soon as I said that, people were fine with us talking about cat piss.
Listen, they want stuff. The people want Mumi pissing on things. They don't want politics in their piss.
There's nothing political about Mumi pissing on a VHS tape that was otherwise lost media and thereby destroying it.
But you know, all art is political.
This is true.
You of course have the famous shock art of, like, you know, the piss Christ.
I was just thinking of that. Yeah.
So Mumi is simply expanding and incorporating, you know, elevating, you could say, the anime medium by urinating on VHS cassettes. now, he was doing it for preservation purposes, but I think if he pivots to, as an artistic expression,
just take it into a museum and put it somewhere.
Artistic expression, and then post it on Twitter for grifting points.
And then people will get angry at you for 1,000 years and say that's not real art.
That's not.
And you go, what, you don't think anime is art? And they're like, hold on a sec, I didn't say that.
I like the idea that people will get more upset by you saying, you pissing on a piece of lost media and destroying it. They get more upset at you saying that that is art than you destroying the lost media.
This is how this debate goes.
But come on, you know that is exactly what would happen.
I feel like I feel like both things would happen, but one side would be much more loud than the other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was it? What was did someone just like put like glasses down or something in a museum, and that became like people were clowning on that or something? Am I thinking of like taping like a banana to a wall? Wasn't that also like a similar case of someone like making
the
fun
banana
of,
on the wall was, yeah.
Yeah. Which is always interesting because it's like, well, that kind of just becomes an artistic statement then, doesn't it?
I mean, you hear like the stories where like someone dropped their glasses or something and lost them. And then like it happened to be in an art gallery and it landed by a wall. And so people thought it was an art piece and they're taking pictures of someone's glasses they lost. And then they come and just like take them.
People go to a Radiohead concert and they hear them tuning their instruments. And when they're done, they all clap because as if they like it's a new song.
I don't know how like real a lot of these are, but it's a very common sentiment that like people just don't.
Oh, yeah. It's people with very, very specific aesthetic tastes and visions that are predicated on neoclassical and, you know, Renaissance and, Baroque paintings.
Yes.
And that modern art and then eventually postmodern art both enrages and terrifies them at the same time. And Duchamp lives rent free in the heads of everyone with that particular kind of bent.
Which is it lives more in their head than the art that they like, basically.
Which is a good thing. Mm. It's art. That's what makes good art. Art.
Yeah, if it's pissing someone off, it's doing something right,
art,
isn't it?
Art is meant to be evocative.
Certainly making a statement.
But specifically on the topic of anime, the politics in anime has become it's not really become a recent thing. This is something like people have always kind of discussed in some capacity, but like relatively recently, I think like 2 weeks ago, a number of videos came out all basically discussing this topic to the point that I was like,
I'm not saying it's a coordinated effort.
Not saying it was coordinated at all behind the scenes.
Not saying that there's some sort of agenda going on.
some sort of conspiracy to have all these videos come out at the same time.
All I'm saying is this is coincidence that they came out within like an hour or two of each other. But no, they're probably so.
But especially since, like, I mean, not even you could even like people like the new political anime on the block that everyone talks about is Frieren specifically.
It's not really new.
The only thing in Frieren that seems to matter is the demons in Frieren, and whether or not they may or may not represent a minority that you do or do not dislike.
I don't know if that's really new at this point. It's just the one that refuses to die. Well, no,
it's new relative to like...
It's a recent... It's a new manifestation of a existing issue that has been going on for as long at least as... Probably, admittedly, before anime had got drafted into the culture war, but certainly since it has been ramped up.
Yeah.
Exponentially, I would say.
Like before that, I think the biggest one would probably have been Attack on Titan, and that one at least makes a little bit more sense because Attack on Titan is explicitly pulling imagery from the Holocaust, whereas Frieren is just popular, and that's why.
Come to think of it, what would have been the first?
What would have been
like,
the first?
You think of something like Angel Zero? Cop? No one cared about Angel Cop's like anti-Semitism or whatever. Like it wasn't like a controversy. It was just kind of like, why? That's fucking weird. Okay.
Yeah. Like, wow, that's pretty fucking wacky.
So at what point do we go from that to like people actually being invested in arguing over like the, not even like necessarily politics in the show, but like the meta politics around the show?
I mean, well, Angel Cop's because of course the VHS cut that out.
Oh.
Or the original VHS okay. They for obvious reasons when they were domesticating it for an American audience, they had to cut out the overtly racist and anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. And it was only when the most recent, I think, was Discotech.
Yeah, they put like a bit of a warning at the beginning, being like, by the way, we disavow everything.
There was, I believe that the book actually comes with a little essay that that puts it in historic context, the same way that, like, you know, the Looney Tunes HD releases have the little things about contextualizing it at the period of the time to explain why Bugs Bunny was a vehement racist.
Yeah.
So I would say that before the culture war aspect, and it kind of became a talking point for the right and, you know, chuds and reactionaries.
Yeah,
it was definitely more eminent in a lot of left progressive analyses, and certainly certainly something like Utena. Everyone loves sword lesbians, and that for the longest time, and I think still remains one of those kind of like, you know, you look at this and tell me anime is not political or doesn't have, you know, other messages and things going on in it. Mm-hmm. You can't, you Philistine.
I guess, even like, yes, yeah, before like culture war stuff, I think there was still outrage around anime, but it was coming from a bit of a different place. Like it was much more of like the liberal feminist kind of like getting upset at like fan service or problematic elements and stuff, which still exists today. But now this has become like a culture war thing, whereas you go back like 10 years, let's say, you may have like, I don't like a Kotaku article come out and say something about some anime that's airing, and I feel like no one really would have batted much of an eye or gave a shit all that. It wouldn't have become like a Twitter controversy for like the next week, like you see now with some of these. There's some fucking like anime news account that keeps posting things like anime tourism isn't the problem, anime elite is, like, explicitly baiting people on Twitter, basically.
Yeah.
And that was not really much. That's like a fairly new, definitely like a post COVID phenomenon, it feels like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that as much as anime has, I kind of feel like it's someone who, you know, got an anime years, you know, decades ago at this point, mm-hmm. and was also like terminally online. I do kind of feel like a lot of the overt discussions of the, I guess, overt politicization of anime was kind of like, you know, trace back to two things like Gamergate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with a specific emergence of, again, like right wing reactionary online footprint, which, you know, has always been there.
To some extent. It just became a lot more prominent around like 2014, 2015.
In that regard, I would say probably fucking like, I don't know if it's true in the literal sense, but at least in like the largest footprint sense. Probably Dragon Maid is probably patient zero for like the current post Gamergate kind of discourse as far as political bullshit.
At least as much as it's like lasted in terms of people pointing towards that single line in the dub. Like obviously there would be stuff like Prison School had in the dub like explicitly mentions Gamergate. But no one talks about Prison School anymore.
No one talks about Prison School.
No one cares about Prison School, which is a damn shame because Prison School is wonderful. Absolute
travesty.
Because like when I think, when I think back, it feels like current discourse is politicized in a way, is in like a meta sense where they draw like tribal lines between like, you like this show or you're one of them kind of thing, like Free Rin or something. If you're criticized Free Rin, it can't just be that you didn't like aspects of Free Rin for just quality purposes in the sense of like, I just didn't think it fleshed out this aspect enough or something. No, it has to be you're actually covering up your true intentions. You just actually are politicizing Free Rin and hate it for these reasons. And it's like,
yeah,
what?
Well, that's how you basically got that left wing versus right wing anime like thing that I made earlier this year that blew up on Twitter. Which was more or less mocking the absurdity of that. It was fairly covert at doing that, seemingly. Or maybe people are just really bad at reading, given that I posted the exact same chart and just flipped the sides like a day later. And then people still got mad at it. I'm like, what do you want? I did everything. You said something wasn't left wing, it was right wing. And something wasn't right wing, it was left. So I flipped them. And now people are still mad at me because it was a fucking shit post where I put Evangelion on both sides.
I think people just
they're
not able to like able to parse parody anymore or like what a joke is, and they take everything super seriously. Sarcasm.
It's all very knee-jerk reactions.
There's like a shocking lack of people doing even a modicum of just like, let me think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Let me see what, you know, cross-reference, cross-post, see what else this account is posted, where is this being sourced from?
Yeah.
And I can't say that it's a necessarily lack of curiosity so much as it's the environment that it's happening on in a platform that is designed to farm engagement through making you as angry or as invested as possible.
Right.
There isn't time to calmly... You're not going to get clicks by calmly going like, oh, actually, this is fake. This is a shit post, you know?
Yeah.
I guess you can't blame people.
It was funny seeing some people basically take the bait and then like a few minutes later be like, oh, no, I think this is actually a joke. OK.
Well, yeah, because I guess you can't blame people for like engaging in things that way initially, because it's like if you think about like what the Twitter ecosystem is like, you're just being bombarded with this shit constantly. It almost becomes like a city effect where like in the city you're not engaging with every single individual person like you would if you like lived on a farm and you only saw one person every other day. Like it's just
my dad will do that. My dad's in DC, he'll just like say hi to random people on the street and they'll give him like weird looks, and I'll turn to him and be like, why are you doing that? This is just like, well, that's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? I'm like, no, dad, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Like rather than being like, like society has fallen because people don't bother looking up stuff anymore. It's just, it's not that as much as it's just the platform doesn't encourage that kind of behavior.
No, absolutely. We were actually talking about this before we even started recording or anything. We're just bullshitting. Twitter as a, like a system, it's not even like YouTube because it's not really like a true algorithm necessarily. It's more about like who you know or like who you are following or who follows you, right?
Who are your mutuals? Who are your oomphies?
So in a way, like more so than even YouTube, like YouTube would just push whatever that's like engagement bait or whatever. But like it's kind of like impartial in that way where it's just like whatever is getting X amount of engagement or whatever. Twitter is not necessarily that way because like you will it gets jump started by like the people. If there are people that have like large accounts that repost your thing, then you are getting put into that algorithm. Mm-hmm. So then it like basically encourages this sort of bifurcation where like these tribal bullshit lines are being drawn because like you are then being put in everyone that follows that person's algorithm and then you just become part of that circle or whatever. And it's fucking weird. Yeah. And I don't like it.
It almost emulates the feeling of being in a small town where everyone knows one another, but you're actually in a big city, basically. It's like, this is not a coherent, like singular space, like a forum or a Discord server would be. It just is kind of reflective of that in a very fake and kind of tenuous way.
It's just weird because it's like it's the complete opposite of what I am accustomed to, I guess, from like just being on anonymous boards or whatever. Because like there, it's just like whoever the goes on there, it just says whatever, it gets put in front of everybody. And if it says something stupid, you're just like, what the fuck are you doing? And like people that are like trying to maybe like emulate the culture of the area, the site or whatever.
Well, 4chan is not a very profitable website. Have you noticed?
Yeah. I mean, it got popular there for a while. It was never profitable. I don't know how they, I guess because they couldn't sell ads essentially because it was had porn and shit. And
it's just so much racism.
Racism not associated with the best of users.
Can we advertise our podcast on 4chan?
No,
please?
I mean can. We literally could. I'm not going to though. That's a hard no.
That's a hard no, both from the cost and the kind of people it would attract.
It probably wouldn't be astronomically. It probably would be doable. I don't know why you would want to. Like I've seen people that have done that. It does not turn out well.
It does not turn out well. We're going to get people spamming porn in our server. Spamming
porn or worse.
I'm honestly surprised we don't get more people in our server just from Twitter to yell at us. I'm honestly surprised at that sometimes.
I wish we did, but unfortunately they always come while I'm like busy at work because I guess like I'm busy at work most of my life now.
Same. You will like ping me and I'll be like, what's going on? It's like, oh, they're not even like funny when they do it. It's always like the most lame.
Well, you
shit
gotta
ever.
Make it funny. You gotta like draw some funny shit out of them. I don't know. It is what you make of it. What does that do with politics and anime?
Well, this is all the backdrop for us discussing like politics and anime, because we kind of have to look at like the structure of like the underlying discourse from where all this is coming from and why this is a topic people are talking about in the first place.
And we need to understand the discursive space to understand what discourse is actually happening within it. Right.
Exactly.
So you had actually brought up an interesting point, which is that this discussion cuts both ways. So I chalk this up to the development of kind of like a dog whistle culture or dog whistle becoming an eminent framework for how people understand media and communication specifically. All anime is political or all art is political. We'll take a step back and just do that one because that's usually what it says.
What people rest their laurels on that just extends to anime.
I think it basically now occupies the position of being a dog whistle for the right, for conservatives who are anime conservatives who are anime fans or media fans, gamers, whatever, that they'll automatically just flag whoever's trying to make that argument or bring this specific discussive point up, and then just terminate any possibility of engagement. It just, they'll shut their, not that they'll shut their brains down. They'll just be like, I know what that person's going to say. It's going to be something that's going to insult me. I'm not going to engage with it. I don't believe it, but I'm not going to engage with it. And so you end up creating this, this framework where the people who are pushing this idea are only able to reach people who already agree with them. And the people who disagree with them are refuse to hear it, largely because there's a discordance in the what terms mean. Because what someone means by political in this specific context is not necessarily what the person they're speaking to believes is political.
I don't want to say it's the fundamental issue is like there's a miscommunication going on. I feel like the miscommunication is still symptomatic of just much more fundamentally diverging worldviews and like ways of like looking at art.
Yeah, the main issue, the main point of contention feels like it's people talking past each other. And you see that even like on our server, like people will post something and be and kind of go, it's usually like when they're posting fucking quote unquote Twitter coal or whatever, and like they start like shitting on somebody or like what someone said, and I'll be like, well, I think they're actually saying this. And then they're like, oh, why did they say it that way? And I'm like, I don't know. That's just how they said it. Like, I feel like it's that's where a lot of this kind of stems from, is people kind of jumping to assumptions about a post, like in a vacuum, because like maybe the person is like right winged or something, or associated with left wing ideology, whatever. And then they then attribute potentially the most negative assumption you can make about that post, and then they start arguing with that straw man that they have created, which then gives the person they're responding to room to be like, what are you talking about? You're not even addressing what I said. You're like, you're like way over here. And like that's where this whole discourse thrives, essentially, is people just talking past each other, especially on Twitter. You talk past each other, you don't actually address what the other person is like arguing or saying. And then you posture to your circle and be like, look at this fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And never actually get anywhere.
Get a load of this guy. Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, that's the thing with like when people responding to Lex's video, they just, they see it and they automatically make assumptions based on just the thumbnail alone because of where it sits in the discourse. Right. And when I said it cuts both ways, it's sort of like, well, it can work in the way that if you like this show, this means that you adhere to XYZ ideology, or if you dislike the show, that means you adhere to this XYD. So there's not really any way that you can kind of win because it's all encompassing.
It's interesting because it feels like
the only way to win is to not play, basically.
That's the only way to win the culture war.
It's interesting because it feels very much like all of this is all downstream from what 4chan was at kind of its like peak usage, because on there, like board culture and post etiquette, like all this sort of stuff was a very big thing, but it was also like unwritten rules, right? So you could then kind of feel out if somebody was new or like didn't really quote unquote belong there. And so that was a large aspect of like engaging on like A, for example. If someone then started talking about Cowboy Bebop and posting like reaction images from like Persona or something or fucking Dante, you would then surmise that this person was a bored tourist from V, and you would tell them to leave and go back to V. And it was a very much like this like strong purity test kind of culture, right? And I feel like there was a lot of, you say dog whistling, I feel like in regards to like 4chan specifically, it was more like kind of a replacement for like nonverbal communication, right? There would be a lot of like sort of posts, how would you say it? Like identity, like, kind of like the board culture, essentially. Like you would just kind of post in line with like this sort of idea or like this culture or whatever. And you could sniff out if someone kind of was belonged or didn't, kind of thing. And you see people trying to do that, but like, because there's not really like a nuance on Twitter, like even on fucking 4chan.
There's not a nuance on Twitter, and you're much more, you have a like a more coherent identity on Twitter. It's much more easy to identify someone than it would be on 4chan.
Yeah, it's more like you would, on Twitter, you identify someone as an individual because it is an individual post and you have a name and a profile picture. On A, it was just like you could identify whether or not they've been posting and kind of sound like they belong or not. So it was more of like a weirdly homogenistic, like hive mind thing. Not necessarily like hive mind in like a, you know, homogenized thought, but like in a homogenized sort of like unwritten culture. But it feels very much like they've adopted a lot of what we used to do back then in terms of like, you know, gatekeeping. They've like tried to like co-opt that and retrofit that into like some weird larger cultural space that does not really allow for it, like
conform to what they want.
You gatekeep on Twitter and you're just bifurcating like your algorithms even more. Like it's not really
it's gatekeeping on Twitter is just spamming slurs at someone in their DMs.
Well, that's like that's an extension of like King of Gets shit and like rolling for dubs or whatever the fuck, and then like posting Lolly in a Naruto thread or whatever the fuck. Like that was all
But that makes more sense on 4chan because of how the platform works.
But it's just we're copying and lifting all these ideas, and like it's an interesting like social observation, I guess, where you like you can see all these ideas being lifted from this small community or relatively small community and being like trying to retrofit it into like the modern larger sort of discourse, and it just does not work. It's not how
it's interesting to look at. I do like Twitter in the same way that like it's fun to watch an ant farm, if that makes any sense. And it's like, you know, what posting is basically just kind of tapping on the outside of the ant farm to see what happens.
I don't like that. I agree, but like I also don't like the positioning of that language. It reminds me of the fucking guy that was like, I'm like the obelisk from 2001 watching the monkey people fight. It's like, shut the fuck up, you fucking people. Like I do agree, it is like an interesting like thing to like observe, but I see it as more like people watching, as like you're in the park and you're watching some people interact and you're like, I'm sure, one of you. Yeah. I'm here, I guess.
But it's bold of you to assert that you exist outside the framework when you clearly don't. Like you should post on the Weeb Crew account consistently. You're most of my feed. every time there's a notification, it's like, oh, Weeb Crew's up. Oh, Weeb. You have the heroic effort of like responding to everyone. I do not use Twitter that much.
God damn it!
You use Twitter.
I saw something the other day where someone was saying like, boy, I was looking at my usage and it was 90 hours a week. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, you're comparing yourself to like no life people that need to go and touch grass, literally. Like, you're on quite. I will go on and look, but like I'm not posting. It's usually like I look at like art or something. So like my screen time is like maybe at most, like if it's like a busy day, like you have a post that's just like popping off and I'm having fun responding to people, it's like 2 hours while I'm at work. I don't like Twitter. I don't like posting. Like I literally made one post today, and I think that's basically all I've done like in a week, really. I do like respond to comments occasionally. Like someone posted fucking Sento from Amagi Brilliant Park, and I was like, would you Sento's? Like just stupid shit, but Twitter just makes me upset. I don't like it. And not in like a, not not like a rage way. Right? It's just like, I don't like seeing these people.
Well, like I'm always like, I don't post a lot. I've gotten better about it, but I will get pulled into, same with like Discord. Like when I'm trying to do research, and because I like when I'm at work, I have some time where I'm able to like, you know, scroll through my phone.
Yeah.
Or when I'm like doing research, I'll do like sabbaticals, because what'll happen is someone will post something and then I'll get pulled into that. And then instead of working on the stuff that I'm working on, I'll focus on that, and that'll eat up like an entire evening.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like Twitter is this very much the same way, where, you know, you respond to someone, you get into a chain, and then you're like, you know, constantly waiting for updates. And
that is like the thing about Twitter that I think is I vastly prefer Discord for like talking like having a
absolutely
like a coherent conversation. And because just this, and it's not even necessarily like, oh, it's just because like there are bad and annoying people. No, like the structure of Twitter as a platform, the way like the reply system works, it can get so like labyrinthian, and conversations converge off in not so good. Many different ways. It just becomes
not good for Discord. It's a terrible platform for Discord.
If you'll both wait for each other to finish, it's fine. If someone responds to a post before you finish posting, all bets are off and it just goes off the rails.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, the character limit, because you need to break it up into multiple posts unless you have, you know, the blue check mark, which I don't want to spend money on.
No, I mean, I wouldn't mind. The money is not the problem. I just don't want to blue check. I don't give a shit.
I don't want to have a blue check mark next to my fucking name.
No, absolutely not. No.
It's the Scarlet A of Twitter.
Which, because that also has become like a dog whistle or signifier to some extent as well.
I think it signifies that you're a coal poster. You just want to make money. if you have a lot, if you get a lot of engagement, more power to you. Make fucking money off Twitter.
Secure the bag.
I mean, they're making the money off you anyway. You might as well get paid for it.
Mm-hmm. Everyone got to eat.
To drag this back to as politics in anime, then, to actually like engage with the subject matter itself rather than just the sort of like meta of where these conversations happen. I just to put all my cards on the table, I am someone who leans more on the side of like all art is political, or like all anime is political, but with kind of like asterisks, because we live in a world where nuance exists, just despite what people may have you believe.
I just don't like where fucking extremes, like absolutes. Absolute statements. Yeah, I don't like just like all art can be political would be what I would say. Like you can.
Yeah. Because my view is like any work of art is ultimately like up to interpretation. There isn't like any sort of quote unquote inherent meaning to any sort of thing. It's all like, you know, the semiotics, whatever the fuck. So when we say like all art is political, for me, the way I think of it, and this is the reason people say all art is political and not all art can be read in a political fashion, is because that takes more words.
It doesn't sound as punchy.
Twitter is not. It doesn't sound as punchy.
It also reinforces a specific and hegemonic position when it comes to how people understand how media works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
This position. So my position on the all art is political is that of course it is. That is at this point in the year of our Lord 2025, a completely banal observation.
Right.
This is something that's been part of critical theory for like the last 70 years
at least.
So to treat it as like some kind of like your mind blown moment is kind of like, this isn't the 1930s. Like
it's.
Which is like, to be fair, that sounds that can absolutely be interpreted as being incredibly condescending. And I don't think that condescension helps in terms of communication or furthering any kind of discourse. So
sure.
Yeah. No,
I think
I want to say, you don't go. One of you two speak.
So I think this goes back to what we were saying, where people are talking past each other. Cause it's like the people that, again, this kind of like a dog whistle thing. The people that are saying like all art is political understand what the statement is saying on a level that the people that disagree with it do not. Right. Like we understand what that's you're saying when you say all art is political, but we all like you can also understand what people are like taking objection to when they hear the statement. And that's why it's like, well, all art can be political. You don't have to make it political for yourself. But all art can be political, but when they're hearing it, they're not hearing like, you know, you can dissect like Banania as a political thing, like what circumstances in the country that it was made in led to the creation of something that is, I don't know, superficially devoid of any kind of like politics in the work itself. Right. You can still look at it politically that way. But someone that is like disagreeing with you is generally like taking you saying that it's political in the sense of like you must be injecting modern Western politics that I am familiar with into this work that has nothing to do with where you're from or something. So it's like,
right, which sometimes can be the case.
It definitely can,
that can be.
But that's how they're taking it in general, because they just see so many people that say that then will do that. And that's not everybody, obviously. But when you're arguing with people, you just kind of bifurcate and then have tribal lines. And you're like, OK, this person agrees with this other person that did this thing, so they must also think the same thing. And so it's just helpful. That's why nuance exists, and it's helpful that you have nuance, and it's unhelpful that Twitter does not actually encourage any sort of nuance discussion.
Yeah.
It's effectively like I said, but the reason I said it was a dog whistle is because the people who like the, you know, the right wing, the chuds will hear that and know that what follows is someone who will be denigrating them, who'll be talking down to them specifically because they're too stupid to understand the brilliant observation that I'm going to have. And then when the brilliant observation turns out to be that you can have a queer reading of anything, really.
And then Halloween is the one we always go to.
Yeah. Then it's like, that sounds like bullshit to me. So this is just you injecting whatever it is into it.
Yeah.
Now I wouldn't say I think almost a year ago at this point, I did a survey trying to get the opinions of what I categorized as people who were, you know, center right. And then the right wing political ideology from, you know, right wing centrism to, you know, fascism effectively and everything in between. Trying to get their opinions on anime and manga. And the respondents that I got, it wasn't a very large number, but it's certainly more data than I think most people are going to be. Most people will be able to get outside of, you know, speaking with some guy that insults you and, you know, says pronouns in bio and then blocks you. But the kind of, when we start talking about tribalism, you start talking about anime and manga getting involved in the, brought into the culture war, you start getting these specific narratives that emerge where, you know, how can you as a conservative like anime? It's like, it's queer coded. It's this, like, look at all this LGBTQ plus representation. It's anti-capitalist. It's anti-hierarchical. It's, how can you like this? You're too stupid to understand that they're calling you the bad guy. While at the same time, the right is the right wing person's looking at it and going, how as a leftist can like anime? It's like traditional family values. It reinforces social hierarchies. It's about, you know, might makes right and survival of the fittest. And, you know, look at all these beautiful women that, and people aren't complaining about the way that they're portrayed. How can you as a leftist like anime? You're too stupid to understand what it's saying. So it's not necessarily that people don't understand what art, all art is political means in the same way that, let's say, like we looked at a couple of videos, right? The way Colleen's Manga Rex lays it out very well,
conservatives, I have found, do understand that. They just sort of reject at least part of the premise to begin with, because, again, it can diverge from how they kind of understand art.
Yeah.
Bit of ramble there, but yeah.
Well, I think and part of that is just simply it's due to two things. One, we are coming at anime from the perspective of outsiders, basically. None of us are Japanese. Let me just put that one out there. Let's be clear about that.
Especially not Colonel Otaku. We gatekeeper.
So we're coming at it from outsiders, and then there's also this view that there is only like a singular, coherent, quote unquote, true meaning to a work of art that needs to be deciphered, and that is the objective reality and meaning of what that art is. When in reality, a lot of this is just, and there's nothing wrong with this, but it is people coming to anime and manga and stuff and kind of projecting their own values onto it. And that can be perfectly fine as long as we are cognizant of that.
Well, there's definitely a difference in like perceiving your own values or like looking at something from your own lens and taking these sort of messages out of it and then projecting those values onto a work and saying like, this is the definitive way to read it. And it's like,
or even going beyond that and like projecting that onto like the people who made it.
It's like that could be the case, but like, I'm less interested in like what is the definitive way to read the work and more from like,
right,
what lenses, what do you take out of this work by looking at it from this lens or this other lens or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think this is a really interesting thing is that discursively, this is I mentioned way back now at this point, this hegemonic perspective of how people understand media. And it comes down to the primacy of the author. Effectively, auteur theory reigns supreme. The correct meaning of a work is not necessarily the most obvious or the most narratively coherent or cohesive. It's whatever the person who made it is intended.
Yeah.
And both people who are coming at it from the left and people who are coming at it from the right and people who come from the center, just in terms of general approaches to media, still believe that it's very difficult to dislodge. And so the subtext becomes much more important than the text, or you'll have a specific group that say, well, you know, I do find, generally speaking, conservative anime fans do tend to prefer whatever the narrative, the overt narrative of the text, they'll look at it that way. Whereas from the progressive, especially the kind of people who would make the all artists political movement or comments, tend to look more for the subtextual readings of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where part of this divergence emerges from, where it becomes this kind of dog whistle where I don't know if you want to talk about any of the videos that we did watch, or because some of them I think really exemplify a good way to go about doing this, and then I think the very wrong way to go about doing it.
I mean, I'm not afraid. No holds barred or whatever. We watched three videos on this topic. I watched like two and a half.
I watched like one.
We watched.
I watched them all because I do the reading. Damn it.
Well, other than so we watched Bonsai Pop's video on politics and anime. We watched Colleen Manga Rex video on politics in anime and manga. And then I watched half of the Mother's Basement video on the politics of One Piece.
I did watch some of that one.
Because I haven't seen one. I know very little about One Piece. So it was just kind of like,
same.
I'll take your word for dude.
I don't think anyone else will have much to say about Jeff's video. I thought it was, I didn't have any problems with this, but I'm also like,
it was perfectly cromulent.
I'm not really into One Piece enough to like want to engage with it on that level.
I'm not a One Piece guy.
Yeah. it's if again, I think I've seen, I saw the movie, the one One Piece movie that was directed by, I want to say, Hosoda. That's the extent of my engagement with One Piece media. It was, if you're familiar with Mother's Basement's content, with Jeff's content, it's exactly what you would expect. It was coherent. It was well laid out, and it was 30 basically minutes him long. Saying, yeah, 30 minutes long, him saying, I think that you can read these things into it, but I can understand if other people, he at least leaves a window open for disagreement and for acknowledging that people can have different readings of these texts.
Mm-hmm. And we had Colleen's video, which I really liked. I don't agree with everything they say in the video, but I do really like how it's researched and argued and the points that they put forward. And just the whole manner in which they go about explaining like this idea of like how anime and manga can be political, and the different sort of lenses and approaches that you can take to extract a political meaning out of a work of art. And then Banzai Pop's video, which fucking sucked. Oh,
well, I guess before we get to Banzai Pop, because we'll do the good stuff and then we'll get to the not so good stuff.
Yes.
Reverse shapes, I guess.
shapes.
Colleen's video, I found that they did it. They did exactly the kind of video that lays out, very coherent, not condescending. There's a little skit at the beginning. Which,
there's a little bit of it, but it's not.
But it's the level of condescension is just, it's that's like, if that's going to offend you, then you get off the internet, buddy. Like, it's like the most mild snark you could imaginable, basically. Right. Like, come on, really? If front loading the video with that, maybe that's a bit of a filter try to get people out. But, you know, I don't know how many people are going to click on their videos.
Basically kind of like saying that was the idea.
Yeah. But otherwise, yeah, they allowed it very, very well. They discuss readings. They go over a little bit over art history. They have sources. I cannot stress how great. Now, that's not always the case. There was that other video that does have sources, which is still not good. So sources are not a magic bulletproof vest for good quality, but they do have sources. It was everything you could want in that video. I think it was everything that the video we're going to discuss at least marginally in a moment wishes it could be. It's the correct way to do it. Not condescending, easily understood, lays the case out very well. Mm-hmm. I think you'd have to be very disingenuous to disagree with a point that Colleen is making.
Yeah. Which again, we should point out, when we say that all art, it's a trite point to make, really, to say all art is political. And because that's not really what the object of analysis should be in the first place. And the reason that this topic keeps coming up and we keep having these discussions is because we can't even really agree on this otherwise rather like foundational point that we can then use to springboard into different kinds of analyses. It's not really like, oh, this, you know, One Piece is political. That's a good fucking job. Here's your fucking gold star. It's more interesting to talk about like, well, what does that mean? What are the specifics? What is our actual thesis statement here?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is because despite how kind of counterintuitive it sounds, Colleen touches on it that, you know, the political has moved into the social and has moved into the cultural, where there was a period where it was a lot more delineated or bifurcated.
Yeah.
But because of the way that specific political events and cultural and socioeconomic events have happened since, you know, the end of communism, and we've moved into the age of neoliberalism, society has become depoliticized in so much as any kind of actual political agency on behalf of individual citizens or masses in general has been subsumed into the culture war. So your political, whereas before the political, you know, future could have been you know, world communism or liberal democracy, for the foreseeable future, it's still just liberal democracy all the way down, just different shades of it. And so because the political has been absorbed into and expressed through culture, that's the only avenue left to actually have any kind of political merit outside of, you know, maybe voting once every 4 years or, you know, voting in the midterms.
Yeah.
But again, the largest demographic is non-voters, right?
And this kind of dovetails into another thing that I think we've talked about on the podcast before. I've certainly at least talked about it in our server, which is people when it comes to all reading like politics into a work of art as well, there is a thing that I've noticed where people, when they have something that they like, they will then read into it politics that agree with them. And when people have something that they dislike, they will read into it like in a political fashion that they disagree with. And what that then kind of turns this into is a matter of, well, the art that I like is moral because I agree with it politically, and the art that I dislike is immoral because I disagree with it politically. And this has kind of become, as people are more politically disenfranchised than just their, you know, everyday, like day-to-day life, and just not even politically disenfranchised, just generally disenfranchised, you have less control over your life in general. One of the few things that people have like control over, one of the few things that they really can regulate, is the kind of media that they consume. So it's like there's no ethical consumption under capitalism. Sure, we're all reaping the benefits of exploitation. So then how do we grapple with that? Well, we can at least not consume media that is wrong, that is bad. And because we're defining, you know, what being morally good as a person is through consumption, that then becomes the kind of deciding factor of what people like and what people dislike and kind of how these conversations are shaped more generally.
Yeah, 100%. It's a two-pronged foundational basis of all of the discourse we're discussing is that representation is endorsement and consumption is activism. And what this does is, this is why the culture war exists. These are the basically two foundational principles for why everyone now sublimates any kind of political will into the kind of media they produce, the digital or the media footprint of or the media they consume, I should say, the media footprint of what their politicians they like are doing. It's just, they vote for the person they see on the TV screen.
People that create like the works of art that they enjoy, there's like a kind of purity testing there as well, which is again why you have people then, you know, not only project their own political views onto onto works of art, but then also onto the people who then make those works of art, where it's like, well, clearly Eiichiro Oda must be a communist or whatever the hell.
Right. Or even the entire nation of the source culture for where this media is produced can then be drawn into it and become the sin eater for all kinds of endemic social issues that are just as prevalent in society that you belong to. But it's a lot easier to point over there and go, Japan is weird,
which again is fundamentally predicated on the fact that we are not Japanese. I wake up every morning and I look in the mirror and I regret that fact. But
that's why you're the weeb crew.
That's why I'm the weeb. But yeah, I don't know.
It's bonsai pop.
Yes, bonsai pop. We got a little bit sidetracked there. The bonsai pop video. I've seen a few videos from them
for I guess as like a bumper sake. We have not reached out to Bonsai Pop to talk about this or anything. Generally, I like to try to talk to the people. Like, we reached out to Moon Channel when we did the stream on his video. We've reached out to,
if we were going to do a stream about this or just a more in-depth dissection of this video, then sure.
I also don't know how constructive it would be, because It's not that we disagree with like a lot of the points he's making in, on like a intellectual level. Like there's not like a debate to be had of like, oh, well, I disagree with you.
It's more so the manner in which he is conveying.
Yeah.
His
points.
And the specific like in the again, the specific political readings, which when I say that, I think all art is ultimately up to interpretation. That doesn't I don't think that necessarily means like carte blanche. You can say whatever the hell you want and just, you know, no criticism of your readings. I do think it is still possible to like be like that's you could have a fucking cracked reading as long as it's like well researched and argued, then more power to you. But some people. And this is another point I wanted to touch on.
Content creating, is that by
people
the way.
Will also just
like if you're making content, you can have a cracked reading if it's well. If you're just you're not making content, you can have whatever fuck. I don't give a shit. Like
I'm not going
to
force
you to like gun to your head. You better fucking give me a fucking.
You must meet my senior level high school English class levels.
You didn't like No Country for All. You better fucking explain yourself. I'll fucking shoot you.
Yeah, this is like the perennial one of the way to kind of stave off criticism of what we call the anti-intentionalist or the like. I myself consider myself a soft anti-intentionalist. I believe the intention of the author is something that can be relevant to how you read a text, but it is not or should not be the dominant or the best way to read a text.
Yeah.
And so while I will stand by the statement that there is no correct reading of a text, there are absolutely incorrect readings of a text. You cannot read Dragon Ball and say that it is the this will teach you how to change the alternator in a 1978 Chevy Charger. Sorry, that is a wrong reading. It's not going to tell you that.
How did I get all these skills to change a carbonator? What?
I agree with you 100% that I don't believe that like, and again, focusing specifically on that video was going to be particularly beneficial, but I do think that the video encapsulates the many of the worst aspects of why people shut down or reject outright and refuse to engage with it, because it does unfortunately fall into a number of those pitfalls. But I think it's emblematic of them and it lays them out very well. So it's a really good case study in that capacity.
Yes, it's an interesting thing to look at in terms of why people will react so negatively if you try and say that all art is political. And there are a few reasons for that. Number one, the video is kind of just really condescending. It feels really like spiteful. And one of the things that I do want to say is that I don't think you need to care or really engage with the politics of a work to enjoy it or be a going back to this idea of like, you know, being a good person based on the kind of media you consume. You do not need to be, you know, reading politics into art does not make you a good person, and choosing not to do so does not make you a bad person. You should have the ability to just, you know, get out of stuff what you want, basically. If you want to do the look into stuff, quote unquote, more deeply, again, quote unquote, then I think that's perfectly fine. But if you're someone who just like watches anime for like the cool fights and cute girls and stuff, I think that there's literally nothing wrong with either of these things. They are both perfectly and equally valid.
I think you can have like interesting readings just watching it that way anyway. Like, I don't have a problem with the power scaling community. I think they might get a bit silly with it, but like,
if I get a little bit silly.
Oh, I do, but that's a different discussion. Well,
that's a different discussion.
It's because they consume it in that way, they will like engage with things in a way I won't, right? So like when they're talking about Dragon Ball and they're like, well, Ki, I think I'd actually like what makes them more durable is like they're wrapping Ki around themselves. Well, I'm like, you know, I never really thought about that. It makes more sense than just like they got real strong and so now they take punches real good, or you know what I mean, like, so they have like things that they look at from their perspective because they're so like honed in on this weird power scaling shit that I wouldn't.
Remind me to show you the versus battle wiki after we are done recording.
I don't need to see this. I don't. But yeah, this is a big thing with this discussion is like people always like take this position of like, well, if you don't agree with me, it's, or you're saying this because it's something that you agree with. And if I were to say it, you wouldn't agree with it because it would be somebody. I don't give a fuck. Like, I just want to like enjoy something and then get the most out of it. Right. So when I watch something, I try to get like all these different perspectives. Like I have talked, my favorite anime are Evangelion and Madoka Magica, the two most like controversial fucking like most debated pieces of shit on the fucking internet. How many fucking videos are there where people are shitting on Ava? Like, it's to the point where it's become like trite and just uninteresting because you've just heard everything at this point. But I enjoyed, before it became played out, I enjoyed like hearing these different perspectives, because even if it's something I don't agree with as a criticism where it's like, oh, I don't like even something banal like Shinji is a bitch or whatever, that still is evocative of something that's interesting about the work that is eliciting this response out of people. So,
yeah, creating some sort of like dissonance.
Yeah, so them. I'm getting a different perspective on something I enjoy. Same goes for political readings, right? Like, it's a shame that more right-wing people don't necessarily like read into this stuff and then make this sort of analysis in a way that could be interesting to people, because like they've kind of just written it off as like a lot of them, I should say. I'm not saying I say everybody, but like a lot of them seem like they've written it off as like a left-wing thing. Like, this is just what left-wing people just go watch anime and then like inject some identity politics into it or something. It's like, no, that's not how this works. Like, that's what's happening because your side is not doing it. But like, I wouldn't have a like, if you made the most racist fucking neo-Nazi reading imaginable of Frieren, where it was like actually kind of intellectually interesting, where you're like citing fucking like Nazi like research or something, I would find that
citing like who's the author, Evola?
Like, I would find that more interesting than this fucking trite banal fucking argument of, are the demons bad in Frieren? I don't care. This is the dumbest fucking shit. Like, if you're just, give me something interesting to like look at a work from a different perspective, right? Like, I will take
the 100%.
I will take the most extreme fucking right wing analysis, political analysis of a work over something like, you know, this Bonsai Pop video where I might agree with it, but it is like,
I do think that fascism
is bad. Thank you. But it's just,
I don't think you're making a particularly convincing argument that is what Full Metal Alchemist is about. Well,
I feel like the part of the problem.
So if
is like, he makes these points, but he's not like really expounding on them all that much. And so like, he says like,
if you'll indulge me, So it just so happens that the Bonsai Pop hit a couple of things that are particularly I find uniquely annoying to me, which is the banalization of fascism. So,
Oh God.
So part of his analysis was that his basic premise, and this is, again, this gets back to being incredibly condescending and being very, if you're going to be this condescending, you really, really need to make sure the argument you're making is sound. And you have to at least do a little bit of research just to make sure that there isn't some glaring hole in your argument that anyone who is familiar with the subject matter will be automatically clock you on.
Right.
So he makes the case that Frieza is a fascist. Mm-hmm. And he says this because Frieza carries out himself, or oversees his imperial military forces committing genocide. And he does this for capitalistic ends. And he's a military dictator. But that isn't what makes something fascist. Because that a military dictator who's, you know, genocidal military dictator
could describe any number of political systems and political ideologies.
I think at one point he basically describes fascism as like the militaristic opposition to
democracy. I wrote this down because I do the research. So
thank you, Richard.
And that's why we have
you're
you
the
on.
Only one here that does it.
Fascism is an explicitly far-right political system because it's predicated on militarist nationalism or racial identity. So if we take his definition, the definition of fascism that he provided, it does that describe Frieza or Frieza's empire? And emphatically, no, it doesn't. Frieza's empire is multiracial. I cannot stress enough how diverse Frieza's empire is.
Right.
It is like the DEI nightmare or DEI, utopia. Because there's no racial the racial superiority is invested in Frieza himself and like the two other members of his race that we ever see, at least in the mainline Dragon Ball before Super, which I haven't kept up with. But there's Frieza, his dad, and his brother who shows up in an OVA. And I'm not actually sure how or the movie. And I don't know how his canonicity exists.
It's not canon.
Yeah.
The film canons its own thing.
So Frieza is a megalomaniac and he is completely self-absorbed, but he's not exterminating races because they're inferior. He's exterminating races because they happen to be on planets that he wants to have so he can resell them to other people with or without an enslaved population. But he's not like, we must do this to secure a homeland for our people, because his people is two guys. And he has there's no Volk. There's no culture that's under attack that has to be defended. Again, when you look at, who Toriyama bait when Banzai Pop looks at the camera and says, it's so simple, even dumb, stupid children understand that what Toriyama is saying is that it's okay to punch to Kamehameha right wing politicians in the face. Toriyama based the character of Frieza on real estate speculators of the lost decade. Not even in like an LDP politician or any, it's just real estate speculators that were buying up real estate and taking advantage of all this destitution that was happening because the economy collapsed.
Honestly, it's arguable Frieza's even political himself, because he's like the leader of the Planet Trade Organization. But they don't really have like a governing. He has like a military that he uses like an arm, but he doesn't really like implement policies. He just sells the planet and then moves on.
Precisely. And so like that's not fascism. That's many things. It's calling him a military dictator is 100% an imperialist military dictator is 100% correct. Mm-hmm. But he's not a fascist, and calling him now again, the kind of impact that a single YouTube video is going to have on how fascist discourse. This isn't a cause symptom, right? It's the watering down of fascism to become the ultimate floating signifier for thing we don't like.
Mm-hmm. As perfectly exemplified in the Nostalgia Critic's review of The Wall.
Well, it's also a problem because he like positions it where like Goku is anti-fascist and like doing this as some kind of political thing, because specifically the dub.
He doesn't. Oh yeah, he goes with the dub, which is like not necessarily the best option to go with. But he does say that like he ends up he himself is not political. Like he says, Goku's a dumbass.
Goku's a dumbass, but he does say like he is saving like the universe, or like he is doing this in a way to like go against. Frieza oppose him as like an ideological thing, whereas like I don't, that's not
well,
he's not like the savior of the voiceless or whatever in the Japanese. He's just Goku the Saiyan dude.
No, he's just a guy.
Yeah,
he also infers that the reason that Goku is able to obtain the Super Saiyan state is because he saw Krillin die. And he posits or intuits that the reason that then connects Goku to all of the faceless. It puts a face to the faceless millions or billions who have been killed by Frieza, and that enrages him. That's not why Goku got angry when Krillin died. He got angry because he's like, well, my friend just got blown up and we've already revived him with the Dragon Balls once. So I don't know if we can do that again. So maybe he's dead permanently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's there in the text.
And you would then have to retroactively say that about the fucking dude that killed Krillin the first time.
Right? And that's the thing, right? Like, Dragon Ball is not a particular... Again, you can do a political reading of Dragon Ball. That's fine. But it is not... It does not lend itself to a political reading particularly well because of the constraints of the medium itself.
Well, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. All of the...
Oh, go ahead. I thought you were...
That'd been going on for a bit. So, like, every other... You know, because you have had armies before, you've had arguably governments, you've had like, King Piccolo. But everyone is basically it all has to come down to individual combats. There are no nations. There are no armies. There are no masses. It's just mano a mano combat, because that is what's required by the storytelling format that this story is being told in.
Right.
So you can't really have someone embody an entire political ideology outside of I'm going to do me and megalomaniacal dictators is an evergreen for making someone easily recognizable as being they're a bad guy.
Yeah.
But like every major Dragon Ball villain has basically fallen into this category. Pilaf. The Red Ribbon Army, King Piccolo, Frieza, Cell to a lesser extent, and then Boo, Babidi and Majin Boo. This is how far I haven't really seen Super. So that's like I know Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z.
Right, yeah.
But they're each just they're not really representative of any specific. They're just basically guys who either have the abilities and use it to oppress people, or who have the resources to oppress people, and they're all oppressors. But reading any much more than that into these is not, I don't think it really sheds light on anything, because you could turn around and go, well, the undergirding ideology of Dragon Ball is might makes right. Mm. The only mm-hmm. reason that Goku is the good guy is because he keeps winning, or he'll lose and come back and then win again and beats the guy that happens to be evil.
Yeah.
So I think that's the least interesting approach to, you know, politics and art, or even understanding ideology. There's a lot more interesting ideological components and readings of Dragon Ball that most people probably wouldn't even think about. But I've yammered on a
well,
bit.
The unfortunate thing about trying to read politics into Dragon Ball is it's very muddled and does not lend itself well. He made the choice, which was an interesting one, to start off with Fullmetal Alchemist talking about how the Ishvalans are stand-ins. It's like, okay. Then he goes and talks about Pilaf, mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, look, Pilaf's a bad guy because he's a dictator or whatever. He feels entitled to things because he was born or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay, well, can't you use your little stand-in example? Well, Pilaf's palace is in the desert, and he allies with a woman and a furry. You can make some weird readings with this. I don't like, or if you like, he talks about like the nepotism thing with Frieza, and it's like, well, first off, they're the same race, but we're not even really sure if they're related, because Trunks kills Frieza and King Cole's just like, oh, hey, you can be my new son, and then we'll go take over the universe. So there's not really like a strong familial thing going on. It's just like, okay, sure. But then you could say that saying nepotism is bad in that regard, but then like the Kais are a thing where like there's a whole, it's revealed in like Super that the Supreme Kais are this race of people, like aliens in this world or whatever, that just all get put as the Kai. And so they're all like, it is the ultimate nepotism. You're just made the god of the universe because you are born of this race, I guess, from this tree or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, there's not a coherent message going. Like, you can say, like, yeah, this is saying this is bad or this is good or whatever, but like, there's not a concrete thing you can point to as saying like, this is what this show is trying to tell you, because it's just incoherent.
Well, you know,
exactly.
Art, much like people, are very complicated and often politically incoherent. It's like the fucking like Onion headline or whatever of like, we taught a chimpanzee to understand the median American voter's politics and he hanged himself.
Well, like you can do that with like Full Metal Alchemist, because Full Metal Alchemist is a bit more coherent. Like I think it'd be weird to try to say like it's anti-fascist or authoritarian or something when it literally ends with them implementing a new Fuhrer and didn't really change anything. But I mean, it's still more coherent. Dragon Ball is just like incoherent. Like there's not a cohesive, like, I guess it's anti-natalist because you kill Cell and Cell is in the test. I don't know. What are we trying to say here?
So like, I think there are interesting readings available for Dragon Ball. It was interesting ways that you can approach Dragon Ball and look at it as, so I have to take a step back for a second and get a somewhat theoretical, but so when I started off by saying, like, I think that the all art is political is relatively banal and not that interesting, I think that it's sort of like what, but a lot of people still find interest in it is because I think what they're trying to do is they're approaching, ideology as laid out or explained by or theorized by Althusser. So for, I guess, people who are listening to this,
please explain.
Me or maybe Joe. So Althusser, it was a Marxist who was writing in the 1960s, 1970s. And we're not going to go into personal history because it's really messed up. Yeah. But he wrote an essay in the 1970s called The Ideology and the Ideological State Apparatus, an investigation that's ongoing. Sorry. I can actually give you the proper title. I have it written down here. I have the book right in front of me. Effectively, Ideology and Ideological State Apparatuses, Notes Towards an Investigation. So he was trying to explain how ideology functioned. And the way that he basically lays it out is that ideology is what allows dominant or hegemonic power structures to replicate themselves. Mm-hmm. So an ideology is more like, you talk about like political ideologies. This is kind of like taking a step back further and framing everything. So everything at the ground level can basically kind of be reduced down to ideology. And that itself sounds kind of banal. Like, well, if everything's ideology, nothing's ideology, but it's basically like a precondition for being able to explain how specific things get passed on and replicated in a society or a culture that then allows that culture to maintain the existing conditions that allowed it to emerge in the first place. Mm-hmm. So he defines it as the ideology represents the imaginary relationship of individuals to the real conditions of existence. This is getting a bit in the weeds, but basically a reading of Dragon Ball that I think is matches this would basically be like, well, how does Dragon Ball replicate or can communicate to people reading it? What kind of ideology is being reproduced there that's then going to be, reified by the society that's producing it? Mm-hmm. And I think one way to look at this would be the way that female characters exist in the narrative of Dragon Ball. Chi-Chi is probably the best example, but you could basically that almost all the major female characters, this is based on me basically being familiar up to the end of Dragon Ball Z before Super. So I know there's new female characters get introduced, but I don't know how much this pattern continues, but at least with what I've read, female characters kind of exist to, they show up, they become romantic interests for our heroes. They get married and have children, and then they fade into the background as they raise the next generation. Chi-Chi starts as a playmate, becomes a marriage partner, then, to the mother, wife, and then the domineering mother, which, is reflective of, specific patterns of femininity and domesticity in Japan. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it's reproducing gender roles the same way that they are, it's mirroring what happens normally in Japanese society, where women may, they're friends, they'll enter the workforce, but at some point, there's going to be an expectation that they're going to get married, exit the workforce, and raise children at home while the salaryman husband keeps working until he dies.
Yeah.
this is something that gets reproduced in Dragon Ball, because it's, you can see it with Chi-Chi. You can see it. I guess Bulma might be the outlier, but even then, it's like there's still the expectation that even though she's an independent woman, she's still nevertheless what does she start this quest off doing? She wants to meet a boy. Mm-hmm. She meets a cad, but that's what she wants. And she eventually ends up marrying, someone from a culture or a race that is not at all supposed to be particularly domestic, but he ends up being, he's the father that stepped up, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. At least when compared to Goku, at least in the sort of stupid stupid comparisons.
Right.
I'm rambling a bit, but I guess I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, that's the kind of thing that Dragon Ball reproduces. I find that much more interesting than, it's bad to oppress people and you should punch oppressors. That's what Toriyama was. And I'm not saying this is what Toriyama was even consciously necessarily like his goal with Dragon Ball is not to teach young men that the only point of women is for, is to be marriage partners and produce children. Right. It's just that that's a necessary precondition for the society which this Dragon Ball was produced in to continue. Mm-hmm. And why there is no other explanation of alternatives, because this is normal. Why would you even question that? It's normal for, boys and girls to grow up as friends, become romantic partners, have children, start families. That's normal. That's just what you do. But it's like, well, why is that normal? Where does this come from? And that's what that's the purpose of ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's more interesting to see like what is normalized in a work than
there is a problem with this though, because then you get weird orientalist takes on this as well, where people, what was the fucking tweet that popped off a week ago that was literally like, Japan is literally hell. It's life sucks there.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, where are we going? Why did you overcorrect to this point?
Oh yeah. Like it's not like definitely can be represented and explained poorly. And I think, again, that the video that we were talking about does just that.
Yeah.
Orientalism remains a perennial problem among weebs, especially. And that, again, gets into dominant versus, dominant discourses and, specific perspectives on what Japan represents as a fantasy scape for, Western weebs.
Does it, is it an apolitical center right wing wonderland, or is it literally inhospitable and women are being raped on trains constantly? And the answer is neither. Neither of these make any fucking sense.
The Japanese live in hell. Don't.
It's a Japan is a place with people in it.
Japan is a land of contrasts.
Wait, where is that from? What are you quoting? I've heard that before.
Oh, I can't even remember where that's from. It's just it's in the aether.
I swear to God, I've heard that from somewhere. Which I do think that the fact that Japan is a different place, it is a different culture to us, then can also reveal certain interesting things as well. I mean, okay, this isn't Japanese, this is fucking Korean, but like Blue Archive is a funny game because it's a game where girls, teenage girls, are running around school with guns and shooting one another, and this is treated as a relatively normal thing. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to look at that in the context of, oh yeah, I guess South Korea doesn't have many school shootings, so this can just be treated as like an absurd idea. I remember specifically, I was watching Hyoka, and they have like an episode with the school festival, and it's basically a like a scavenger hunt episode. It might be two episodes, but there's a scene where Oroki is like sitting at like the booth or in a classroom or something. He's really bored. And one of his friends come over and they just point a gun in his head. And it's a realistic looking gun, but it's a water gun. And I was just like,
That would never fly in America, where the idea of someone having a gun in school is a way more plausible thing than it would be in Japan.
We also have like what, right? Akiba Strip is about shooting. I mean, it's stripping you of your clothes, but it's a gun.
Right. Well, there is the other thing as well when it comes to reading anime and manga specifically like this, and that is the fact that. Oh, we need to have a delineation between Japanese culture and otaku culture. They're not completely different, but they're not mutually inclusive either. They're not one mm-hmm. and the same thing.
Yeah. 1000%. And Joel always had like the best analysis, analogy with for that, which is like, you know, you going like otaku or representative of, you know, the entirety of Japan would basically be the same thing by like you going to a suburb in West Texas and talking to like a diehard country music fan and extrapolating from that, or like a goth person and extrapolating from that to the entirety of American culture. It's like you're talking to a subculture and yeah. extrapolating the culture, which is it's a subculture. That's not how it yeah. works.
It's like going to Comic-Con and being like, this is what all Japanese people are like, or going to the Daytona 500, the parking lot outside with people pre-gaming and being like, ah, yes, all of America is like this.
Yeah. Like, I think there needs to be again, just observations as a fan who's been, you know, coming from a specific perspective and has been involved in the, you know, physical community, but going to conventions and things for like, you know, 20 years or 20 plus years at this point. There needs to be a movement on the Orientalist tendencies and also the Orientalist tendencies to look at Japan and be like, Japan, like I like anime, but Japan, I acknowledge Japan is weird and it's, you know, gross and yeah. you know they have, you know, panties and vending machines.
You know, the camera snap noise on phones, women only cars yeah. on trains.
Exactly. And then that needs to be balanced against the unique specific cultural. This is more insidious Orientalism, where it's this unique cultural properties of how Japanese culture has developed, developed effectively isolated or with minimal cross-cultural flow with like not Japan. Which is just, it's absolutely not tenable position to have.
No, so not even come remotely.
Yeah, when people there's far more cultural flow going on and transnational productions and things like anime and manga than you'd think of when you think of anime and it's like, oh, that's like, you know, it's the Japanese medium sort of thing, right?
But there's a similar disconnect there when people say like, I don't want like Western politics in my anime, or like Western influence in my anime and stuff. When people
exactly.
say that, they are meaning and a specific like, kind of thing.
Yeah. But it's like, but it's always already been there. Like it's endemic in like, look at the way that manga emerged and anime emerged. Yeah. Like it's always already been influenced by the West.
Yeah. I think I literally saw something where someone was like, well, thank God Studio Trigger isn't making anime like that is influenced by the or like influenced or catering to the West. They were saying this while the new season of Panty and Stocking is airing.
Stocking is out. Oh man.
They were, and I saw them in Otakon. I saw like Tsuchiyo and Wakabayashi and the other guy, I can't remember his name. But they were at Otakon and they were talking about, have you seen the new season of Panty and Stocking?
I really should, because I literally bought the Blu-ray of the original series this year, and I watched that and it was great. But I just I've been busy, so I've only been catching a couple seasons. I will eventually watch 1000%.
There's a joke in the first episode where they're all doing like a car chase and driving around town, and it's like this top down like map kind of shot. And as they're driving through, you just see that like. There's a ton of, like there's basically a weed store on every corner. and they were talking about that at Otakon, and they were just like, well, yeah, because, you know, we come here and we come to America every year. We do like a lot of these panels at conventions and stuff. And every year we come, we notice more of these stores just cropping up constantly. And I'm just like, thank God. Thank God I'm not the only ones noticing this.
Right.
How are they all making enough money to stay in business? It makes no sense.
It's bizarre. I don't understand how dispensaries work.
Where are they getting all this money? But again, when people say that, I understand what they mean. They mean like woke politics. But again, it's not really a tenable position to have because anime and manga is diverse as shit. There's thousands of people making these things, and it would be kind of presumptuous, we'll say, to assume that everyone has the exact same political viewpoints and are injecting those political viewpoints into the stuff that they're making intentionally. It's just absurd. And again, that also goes then with like the people being like, well, anime and manga have always been left wing. And it's like, what? I mean, I mean, some people, but not others.
This agrees with me and my politics, me.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, like, as you were sort of alluding to, I've lost my train of thought.
Derailed, no survivors.
You were saying in terms of, the woke politics being injected into anime. And it's basically like it only becomes an issue when it's immersion breaking, when the manifestation of politics makes the person, it rips them out of the fantasy scape they've devised or they've ensconced in, when they go to anime for specific purposes. And when something reminds them of something that they disagree with, all of a sudden that ruins the experience. And it takes a specific degree of the term gets used a lot at poorly, much like all artists political media literacy. But it takes being able to step outside of your, like, I'm a pretty left wing guy. I straddle somewhere between Marxist and post-Marxist in terms of my personal political positioning. What media exists that I can enjoy that is like explicitly Marxist? Is I wouldn't be able to enjoy anything.
You would have,
but like,
yeah, no, literally, like the reason that we have anime and manga in its current form is it is fundamentally a product of capitalism, essentially.
Yeah. So it's like, so either my choice is either to you started off with saying, you know, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism. So it's like, well, my choices are. I can die.
It's time to go live in a Marxist monastery in the wilderness. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Or I could, you know, just learn to appreciate that not all art is not going to have politics that I always or necessarily agree or even appeal to me. And that doesn't make me, that's not bad.
I don't care.
It's actually pretty mature to be able to approach media that you maybe have disagreements with, or that the ideology you disagree, the ideology you're reading into it, you find problematic, and kind of squaring that with, or coming at it from a different way, you know,
like
you have to enjoy everything.
Having like things in it that you appreciate, like it only becomes a problem if the only thing that you appreciate about that work of art is the politics. If you have things that you can appreciate outside of that, be outside of that, quote unquote,
or like even the freedom of politics is what people really like, you know, especially the right wing, at least the people who are online seem to enjoy, is that it's free from politics because they don't have to. And that again gets back to the immersion breaking thing. Right.
Yeah.
Except it's loaded with it. And I guess it cuts to the heart of the issue with the all art is political is that it just become what, when you understand that, it shouldn't take too much longer for you to get to the point where that becomes banal and it's no longer remarkable, and you seek different analytical tools or analytical frameworks to appreciate as diverse a media form as anime and manga are.
Which I think, and because again, I don't like poo-pooing people, you know, admonishing people, condescending them for, you know, like not giving a shit about like the politics of anime and manga. I personally speaking, I generally
don't either. It's not really something that I'm like really conscious of or actively thinking about when I'm watching something. But what I would say is like, it's a good thing to analyze and think about and understand the different like things that you appreciate about a work of art. Politics or not, if you just like, you know, the cute girls in a slice of life show, I think that that is worth as much critical insight, analysis, and appreciation as like the political themes or whatever the fuck. So it's like
1000%. I think I know what you're getting at.
Yeah. So it's like if that's what you're watching anime for, that's great. Let's talk about it. Let's dig into that. What is making like these girls cute? Like, what about the way like that they're drawn, the database elements, yada yada yada, all this stuff. I think I don't want to act like that there's only one way, like the only way of looking at a work of art and worth analyzing it is the politics of it either. And that is another like danger absolutely. Of all this discourse.
And related to that is the idea that only certain anime that deal with certain subjects are worthy of, you know, it's not that deep.
Oh, like, yeah.
Obviously you're going to analyze something as deep as Orb, or you're going to analyze, you know, Utena or Evangelion. But yeah. Like you want to analyze Bananya? Are you stupid? Like what's Mono? There to analyze? What's there to do there? It's like you have like. I'm someone who spends an inordinate, a significant portion of my time researching Arrow Media, probably yeah. one of the lowest form, the lowest forms of art, of if it's even considered art, and a lot of the time it's not. It's
yeah.
you know, pornography is not art. It's obscene. It's a masturbatory aid. But there's no artistic merit there. There's no value in it. It's basically just you're watching this because you're. Satisfying a specific physiological required like need, but that's the only value that it has. There's nothing else there. Why would you waste your time with that when there's better stuff to study? And I think that's just a really bad attitude.
Yeah, it's like why are you limiting yourself in such an like an arbitrary way? Is what it feels like?
Yeah, I think Apocalypse
also Hotel. go listen to our hentai episode. Listen to the
hentai episode.
Yes,
I think Apocalypse Hotel is a good example of that because like. Most people mm-hmm. are just going to watch it as a comedy. Mm-hmm. They're not going to fucking look into anything. When I looked into it, I wasn't even necessarily looking into it for any kind of like political messaging. Or, I mean, I was open to it, but it's not like I was like, oh, this is going to have fucking something to say about politics. And then like just it naturally mm-hmm. just kind of came up while you're like looking into like what the show is trying to say. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
this right. seems to be very much saying something about immigration in Japan. That's interesting. I didn't really... I mean, I can see it. I definitely see it. But I didn't really like think that deeply into it when I was watching it and laughing at the funny jokes or whatever. Right. And I think yeah. that's a completely valid way to like engage with media. And you can still dissect it and like critique it and analyze it on that level. You don't have to go into some subtext. You don't have to look into like Tanuki usually meaning like identity and playing with themes of. What it means to be like a true Japanese, but like you don't have to look any like it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like just watch however you enjoy it, and
exactly
we all can come together and talk about what we enjoy. And if you enjoy it on that level, you can enhance someone else's enjoyment that might not be watching it as critically on that same level. So you might pick up something that they're not going to pick up on. That's what I try to get out of media and like discourse, right?
Yeah.
And that's why yeah, I fucking hate like Twitter.
Exactly. Like me who makes, you know, a video a year at this point.
Right.
Like I like incorporating anime studies. I obviously incorporate critical theory and, you know, Marxism more often than not. But like I also try to convey in the videos where I am doing that kind of analysis or presenting something about a work, not in a way that's like, this is again, the only way that can be read. It's just, it's an available reading. It might be esoteric enough that people haven't thought about it before, but they might find it interesting. I find it interesting and I want to tell other people about my perspective on this. And that's why I make content.
Yeah.
think that's why I think we all make content for that reason. You want to get your perspective out there, have it bounce off of other people's kaleidoscopes to see what comes back. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe.
And that's ultimately what this podcast is about.
Communication.
Community.
It's about family.
Oh,